Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. HBO's fantasy drama Game of Thrones kicked off its fourth season this past Sunday. The hit series has the distinction of being the most frequently illegally downloaded program on the internet. It also features perhaps the most hated fictional character on TV, the petulant, sadistic, teenaged King Joffrey.
She's an ideal match. With the Tyrells beside us, we'll crush the Northerners. Sow their fields with salt, and no one will think of rebelling for another century.
Marjorie Tyrell dotes on filthy urchins for a reason. She married a traitor and known degenerate like Renly Baratheon for a reason.
She married Renly Baratheon because she was told to. That's what intelligent women do. What they're told.
While making no claims to historical accuracy, Game of Thrones' vaguely medieval setting has spurred interest in the Middle Ages. An article about how teens and children were actually treated at the time got us curious for more. So we called Jeremy Goldberg. He teaches medieval studies at the University of York in England. Dr. Goldberg, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Now, we've spoken in this program before or learned about the notion of the innocence of childhood, you know, this time of wonder and freedom from work and want, being a Victorian notion. What was the concept of childhood in the Middle Ages?
Well, there's a very close association between being a child and playing. Children, when they're represented in pictures, in manuscripts, in art, young children, at any rate, are shown with little toy windmills or riding hobby horses or otherwise engaged in play.
Do we have any record of when a child was no longer allowed to play and became much more like an adolescent, somebody who was expected to work for the family?
I mean, I think it's a process. I think it's a gradual thing. I don't think there's a sort of cut-off age. But I think that from about 7 years of age, thereabouts, there would be an expectation of children to do helpful jobs, odd jobs. And I think from the child's point of view, the beginning stage of that might be understood very much in terms of play.
Hmm. What about adolescence? What kind of record do we have of treatment of or thinking about teenagers?
There's no strong evidence that people in the Middle Ages would have understood the notion of adolescence in quite the way we do. I mean, it's hard to find a terminology for that. That said, I do think there is a cultural understanding of some kind of stage between the dependency of childhood and the relative independence of being an adulthood. I've done a lot of work on the institution of servanthood. It was very common, particularly in an urban context, for youngsters in their teens up into their early 20s to go and live in someone else's house, be provided with food, lodging, clothing, etc., and work in that household. And so they would be living away from home. They would have a degree of independence, but they would still be very much subject to the authority of their employers.
I did read an account from, I think it was around the year 1500. Now, this is an assistant to the Venetian ambassador to England, really struck by the strange attitude in parenting that he wrote to his masters that the English kept their children at home until 7 or 9 and then put them out to hard service in the houses of other people, binding them generally for another 7 or 9 years. Was this across class lines? Were wealthy children more likely to become educated?
Yes, it does seem to have crossed boundaries of class or status. The children of the aristocracy in England went into service in other aristocratic households. The problem that the assistant to the Venetian ambassador has is that he's coming from Venice. For him, it's a completely alien institution, and he writes about it from the sort of moral high ground of, you know, how we do things in Venice is so much superior to how they do it in England. And I think as a consequence, he exaggerates how young youngsters were when they went into service, because I found no evidence of children as young as 7 or 9 going into servanthood. 11, 12, maybe, but not younger than that.
We're speaking with Jeremy Goldberg. He teaches medieval studies at the University of York in England. And we're talking about the experience of being an adolescent, a child, a teen in the Middle Ages, where the idea of servanthood was an education or a form of education for medieval children. How about those strong adolescent urges towards exploration, you know, sexual exploration? And how about sexual abuse for these kids who are basically put in the hands of other people far from the protection of their parents?
Undoubtedly, it did happen. I mean, in Southern Europe, particularly, there's evidence of young women who are going into service being vulnerable. But the context varies that the young women who go into service in cities like Florence, who don't have older brothers or other male relatives who can provide for them. And so they're going into service in order to gain a male protector. Mm-hmm. And so they are seen within the society as already being in some ways vulnerable and therefore easy to exploit. In a Northwest European context, in places like Paris or Bruges or London or York, we do know of servants who are in some ways abused by their employers. But the reason why we know about it, or at least some of the time we know about it, is because those servants would then turn round and bring an action against their employer within the local courts. And the employer will turn around and say, well, I was chastising this servant because they had behaved badly. So you can get some sort of sense that yes, employers would strike, use physical violence against servants to correct them, but that's part of the culture.
What do you think? Would you rather be a teen today trying to get into a prestige school, trying to keep up with lessons and sports and doing homework until 12 o'clock at night, or be a teenager back in the Middle Ages?
Just as today, it depends on what sort of teen you are. Some teens are going to, in some ways, quite enjoy that sort of challenge. For others, it will be absolutely miserable. I guess that being in the city is much more exciting than being in the countryside. And for older servants, there's a lot of evidence of older servants using their position to make friends, look for partners, engaging courtship. A lot of evidence that young people might meet in service and subsequently get married, etc. So I think for some young people, being in service as a teenager, young adult, was probably quite fun. And just as there would be some employers who would be cruel, unkind, unsupportive of their servants, there are other employers who clearly affectionate and supportive of their servants. I mean, I have a very nice case from a York record of a young man who's a servant who's engaged in courtship. Indeed, he's entering into a contract of marriage, which he's arranged with his fiancée, but he asks his employer if he will come with him to visit his girlfriend's parents, so his prospective parents-in-law, and his master says, yes, I'll come with you, and I'll bring a goose with me. So he's basically saying, look, I can have roast goose. That will help the whole conversation to go along and just make the whole evening go much more smoothly.
Well, I know you don't watch Game of Thrones, but on that series, children are orphaned, captured, they learn to fight and steal. Sansa, perhaps the most annoying of the characters, is given up as a pawn in a marriage. Pretty much a tribe of girls, daughters, are impregnated by their father. How close to actual history would the Game of Thrones be?
Well, most of those things you can find if you choose to look for them. But there is a sense in which you don't have to look too far today to find examples of extreme violence and exploitation, even within relatively civilized urban societies of North America or Europe. Yes, there is some tendency for the aristocracy, particularly, to marry daughters and to some extent oldest sons off at quite a young age. And there are examples of girls certainly as young as 12 and occasionally as young as 11 who are married off. And yes, for, you know, examples of parents and more particularly of employers, but I think you could match any one of those examples of parents who, you know, lay their life on the line, in fact, to, you know, to protect a child. So you can argue it both ways.
Jeremy Goldberg, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome.
Jeremy Goldberg teaches medieval studies at York University. He did not watch the Game of Thrones season 4 premiere on Sunday night, but about 6.6 million people did. So many, in fact, that HBO's streaming service, HBO Go, was overloaded and shut down early in the broadcast. The network claims that many of those who logged on are using borrowed passwords from paid subscribers, and that amped up demand beyond what they planned for. Other TV networks are doing their best to drive viewers. New Zealand Sky Television installed a 23-foot-tall statue of King Joffrey in a public square in Auckland. They invite fans to help bring down the statue by tweeting with the hashtag #BringDownTheKing. You'll find links to view it, vote, and read more on the meager lives of teens during the Middle Ages. All of that is at wordofmouthradio.org.